Today, Shiur Daf Be'ezer Hashem on the very last line of Daf Lamid Amid Beis with the words Ela Amat Daf Papa. The issue at hand is a statement from Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina says that the halacha is in accordance with Rav Shimon Shazuri's ruling. Not only in regard to that particular ruling, but Rav Chanina adds that wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri has an opinion, the halacha is usually kemaisai in accordance with his view. What we are looking for in this Gemara, and we have been looking for it for virtually the past Amid and are yet to find it, is the source. Which halacha is that Rav Chanina referring to when he says over here, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri? Now, we had several suggestions. We mentioned opinions from Rav Shimon Shazuri. But in regard to all those suggestions, the Gemara showed us there are a list of Amiraim who say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri in those particular cases, and that Rav Chanina's name is not mentioned over there. So we're assuming if the Gemara gives us a list of which Amiraim Paskim like Rav Shimon Shazuri and Rav Chanina's name is not mentioned there, that is not the particular halacha that Rav Chanina was referring to when he said, in regard to this, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. So we continue on now with virtually a tour through Shas, looking for various opinions of Rav Shimon Shazuri to find a certain halacha and to say, this opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri, this is what Rav Chanina meant when he said, over here the halacha is like it. Elamad of Pap. The following is what Rav Chanina is referring to. He is referring to Rav Shimon Shazuri's opinion, Ashida, on the box. We will soon see what Rav Shimon Shazuri's opinion is about a box. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, that Rav Chanina is referring to a different opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri, Ayayin, in regard to Rav Shimon Shazuri's ruling of wine. And that too we will soon see, B'ez Hashem. The Gemara explains, Rav Papa Amar Ashida, we go now to the top of Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. The Tanakh we learned in the Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim. Hashid in regard to the box, Beis Shamri Oimrim, Nindedes Mebithnim, you have to measure it from the inside, Ubeis Hil Oimrim Mebichutz, from the outside. The issue over here is as follows. The Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim gives us a list of various different kinds of large boxes or objects that are not considered Kelim anymore because they're too large. For example, beehives, small ships, holes in the ground, holes that have some kind of inserts, small kind of boats, chests, boxes, little towers, any of these. If they could contain, if they have a maximum capacity of more than 40 sa liquid or 2 kur yavesh, in that case they are too large to be considered kalim, and therefore they are not mekabel tumah. On the other hand, these very same objects, if their maximum capacity would be less than 40 sa of liquid or 2 kur of yavesh, it's small enough to be considered a keli, and therefore a keli is mekabel tumah. If it comes in contact with tumah, it becomes tummy. Now the shaila is how to measure this. All we have is the numbers of 40 cell liquid and 2 kar yavish. We don't really know how to measure these objects. Beishami say, nimdadis mebifnim. You measure the inside. For instance, if you have a chest and the interior of the chest would contain, it is big enough to contain 2 kar yavish, in that case it is over the keli size and is not makabel tumah. Now the Bishil Laiman, the Bishil say, they're more lenient, and they say you don't just measure the inside, but mebichutz, you measure it from the outside. In other words, let's say the walls of the box are 2 inches thick. Then you can count those 2 inches into your measuring of the interior of the keli. And even though the fact is you couldn't pour 40 sa of liquid into this keli, however, if we imagine that you can use the space of the walls itself, if in that case you would have 40 sa, then the keli did make it over the size and is not makabel tumah. While the Bishami and the Bishil disagree on if or if not you can count in the walls, one thing they do agree on, continues the Mishnah, imoidim elu ve'elu, both acknowledge, she'ein oive haragalim v'oive halavaz v'zin, name that, that you can't count in the thickness of the legs and the thickness of any rim that is around the keli. The legs of the keli tend to be thicker than the board itself, and if there is a rim on top, we may want to count that as part of the interior of the keli, so we get over the size limit. However, both the Bishami and the Bishil amoidim that can't be done. At least, this is the Tanakhama's view of what the Bishami and the Bishil say. The Bi'aisi disagrees. Bi'aisi and the Bi'aisi says, Moidim, both the Bishami and the Bishil are Moidim, Shayayayi Haragalim, the thickness of the legs. Bi'aisi Halavaz is in Nimdat, and the thickness of the rim can be included in the measurements of the Kaili. The problem is the space in between. It's Ubinei and Ein Nimdat. Here they're both Moidim. In other words, suppose I have a chest standing on 4 legs. So I can take the actual legs and measure them. If the legs are 1 by 2 inches, you could count that in. What I can't do is imagine as though the whole keli came down to the bottom, and count in all that space between the legs, as if though the bottom of the keli was at the end of the legs. That's what the Maidi can't do, according to the Bi'aisi. And finally, we come to what we are searching for over here, and that is an opinion of Reb Shimon Shezuri. Reb Shimon Shezuri, Aymer, and indeed this is the halacha, the Rambam passes this way. Im hayiragalim gavayis tefach, if the legs are high a tefach is considered a makam chashif, then ein beinayin nimdad, you can't count the space in between. However, the imlav, if the legs are not high a tefach, then beinayin nimdad, you can count the space in between. So here we have an opinion of Reb Shimon Shezuri. We don't have a listing of Amirayim that say the Alachi is like him, so we can point out that Reb Chanina's name is not there. And then we can safely say when Reb Chanina said the Alachi is like Reb Shimon Shezuri, he was referring, as Reb Papa maintains, he was referring to this Halacha of Reb Shimon Shezuri. Now, we have tight shidat mean a box or a chest. Rashi Masechta Shabbos explains the word shidat to mean some kind of a wagon that women ride in. Taisa disagrees, because Taisa says if it's a wagon that is miyuchet to sit on, then it's mekabel tumah even though it's not a keli. Even pshutei kleyetz, planks of wood, if they are miyuchet, if they are designated for the specific purpose to sit on it, it becomes tummy measures. So there would be no need to wonder how to measure it, because there's no point in measuring it, it's tummy regardless. Furthermore, points out Taisa, there's a shaila about the tumah of Eretz Ha'anan. We know that there is some kind of a tumah in Eretz Ha'anan itself, in all land that is outside of Eretz Yisrael, that is the Kana Rabbanan. And the Gemara has a shaila about somebody who leaves Eretz Yisrael but doesn't walk on the ground. So how does he move around? He's being carried in a yeshida, teva, or migdal. And the Gemara says, being that it's a milsad leishchicha, to be carried around in one of these things, therefore Chazal were in Geizer and he is not tummy. So you see, yeshida is not your normal wagon. It's just a chest that somebody happens to be sitting in. Because if shida means a wagon, then it's not a milsa de loy shchich, it's a milsa de shchich to move around in a wagon. Therefore, Taisa says, as we have taught, that shida means a box, a chest used to put kelim inside, not for people to sit there. Now, the problem, as we mentioned before, one of the objects listed in the Mishnah that we have to ponder on how to measure them to see if they have more than the two kor yuvish or nemsa lach to render them too large for a keli is a boat. Whatever machlokes we have over here about measuring inside, measuring outside, counting the rim, all applies to a boat as well. That's one of the objects listed in the Mishnah. Now, a boat, apparently, is something people sit in. So why do you have to measure it? It should be tummy measures regardless. So first Taisa says perhaps it's referring to the kind of boat that is just a cargo boat. It's used only to load up packages. People don't sit in it. But then Taisa sort of leans a little bit more to Rashi's shot, and Taisa says it could be a boat means a boat that people actually travel in, and the same is for a wagon. However, the people don't sit there. Apparently it's some kind of a wagon or a boat that is used for very short distances, maybe just to take people over from one side of a narrow canal to the other, and there aren't any benches on this. People get in, they stand for a couple of minutes, and they get off. So if it's not miyuchad liyeshiva, it would not be mekabel tumah unless it was small enough to constitute a keli. Now, it doesn't mean people will never sit down in this, but it's not made for the purpose of sitting in it. It's made strictly for the purpose of taking people from one point to another, and therefore, perhaps, would not be tummy nets. Akupan, if Shimon Shezuri is the most lenient shita, he said you can even count the air in between the legs, provided that they aren't high at tefach. If Papa says this is the Shimon Shezuri that Chanina is referring to, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, which opinion of Rav Shimon Shezuri is Rav Chanina referring to when he says the Halacha is Kamaisai? Ayayin, he is referring to Rav Shimon Shezuri's opinion on wine. Before we see what Rav Shimon Shezuri's shita about wine is, let us first be magdim a small hagdama. We know that tumah comes in stages. The greatest tumah is the Aviyavaisa tumah. That touches something else, it becomes a Avatumah. The Avatumah touches something else, it becomes a Rishain, then a Shani. And in regard to Truma, a Shlishi. Chulin stops at Shani. But Truma would become possible even if a Shani touches it. There is a Shlishi by Truma. Now, in regard to liquid, in regard to valid Mashkin, Chazal were misakin a special Chumra. And that is that Mashkin always becomes a Rishain, regardless of what touches it. For instance, if I have a piece of bread that is a Shani Latuma, this piece of bread in front of me became Tame because a Rishain Latuma touched it. If this piece of bread would touch another piece of bread, that other piece of bread would become shlishi, which in effect means if that other piece of bread would be trum, it would be pasul. On the other hand, if this piece of bread that I have, which is a sheni, touches liquid, the liquid doesn't become a shlishi. The liquid becomes a rishain latoma, And when that liquid touches something else, that something else is a sheni l'tumah. So Chazal have made mashkin so susceptible to tumah that it gets an even greater madrega of tumah than the transmitting object which gave it to tumah. If a sheni touches mashkin, the mashkin becomes a rishain. We're going the other way here. There is a machlokes what constitutes mashkin. That we'll see the Gemara inside. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. The Meir says, Shemen chilul yoil. Oil is a mashkin, and therefore regardless of what touches oil, any tumah that has enough tumah in it to passel tumah, even a sheni l'tumah, when it touches oil, it turns the oil into a rishon. The shemen always becomes a tchila. We go back to square one. The chachanim say this isn't only true in regard to oil, but af hadvash. The same is true in regard to honey. Honey is also a legal mashkin in the sense that whatever touches it makes it a rishon. Reb Shimon Shazuri says not only oil and honey, but af hayayin, also wine. Even if a sheni l'tumah touches wine, the wine becomes a rishon l'tumah. And the melech is in regard to this opinion of Reb Shimon Shazuri that Reb Chanina says the halacha is k'maisai. Now there's something troubling the Gemara over here, because we make it sound like Reb Shimon Shazuri is the sole opinion that says wine is considered a valid mashkin. And the Gemara finds this very difficult to understand, because as far as we know, nobody disputes the validity of wine as a mashkin. Michlau fek the Gemara, are we to derive from this the Tanakam asavar yayin loy, that the Tanakam is of the opinion wine is not a mashkin? Fek the Gemara now. Aim the rather say Reb Shimon Shazuri oimer yayin. In other words, till now we read Reb Shimon Shazuri oimer af hayayin, also wine. Honey and oil are considered mashkin, and not only that, but wine too. So it's mashma the previous shita said wine is not a mashkin. Now we're saying Reb Shimon Shazuri oimer, Reb Shimon Shazuri says yayin, just wine. Reb Shimon Shazuri is coming here to exclude oil and honey. He is saying only wine is considered a mashkin and nothing else. Not that he's adding wine. Nobody had wine off the list. Reb Shimon Shazuri is saying just wine and not oil and honey. Oil and honey, according to Reb Shimon Shazuri, is not a valid mashkin. Now, incidentally, here we have one case where we don't paskin like this Reb Shimon Shazuri, because l'maisa we say there are shiva mashkin. The simon for those shiva mashkin, as brought down in Shulchan Aruch, is yad shachat dam. The yud standing for yayin, the dalad dam. The shin for shemen. Ches for chalav, tes for tal, do. The dalet stands for blood, and the mem for mayim. These are lahalacha, the shiva mashkin that constitute mashkin. The one basic thing that is excluded is juice. May peiros is not considered a valid mashkin. Now the one aspect of this which pertains to us bezman hazeh is in regard to netilas yadayim, because the halacha is that if somebody is eating a peiros with his hands that was made wet by any of the shiva mashkin, he has to wash his hands beforehand. We don't make a bracha, but there is a chiyuv netilas yadayim. Now, Taisus is really troubled by this. If the fact is we know lahalacha that all of these shiva mashkin are considered mashkin, including oil, and the one is stressing so emphatically over here that the halacha is like a shimon shizui, that's the whole point of this whole sugya, here we have here a perfect example of something where the halacha is not like a shimon shizui. A shimon shizui says just wine is mashkin, not honey and oil. Therefore, Taisus suggests that when a shimon shizui disputes the oil over here, he means frozen oil, shemen karush. And this all machlokes of what type of mashkin becomes a rishain is not referring to liquid mashkin. In a liquid form, vade, all the seven things mentioned, including oil, honey, and wine, it's all mashkin. There's no shayla about it. The shayla is what happens to these things when they are frozen. So now the Mishnah that we just learned has a whole new meaning. The Meir says frozen oil has a din of mashkin. The Chachamim say frozen honey has a din of mashkin. And the Shimon Shazui says only yayin karish, only frozen wine has a din of mashkin. But frozen oil does not constitute a valid mashkin as far as tumah is concerned. And once again, what we have accomplished is that indeed Reb Shimon Shazuri is lahalach. Now, until now, we were mentioning opinions of Reb Shimon Shazuri in Mishnah. Now we're going to see an opinion, or at least a story with Reb Shimon Shazuri that appears in a Berais. Zak the Gemara to Tanya. Amar Reb Shimon Shazuri. Pamachas, it happened once that Nisavli Tevo Bechor. Now we're going to see two alternate pshatim in this Gemara, both appear in Rashi. We'll first see the Gemara with the first pshat. We mentioned yesterday that there is a maestrous concept called demai. The word demai sort of implies we don't know where we stand. And when a person buys payments from an amor, it's in a certain sense he doesn't know where he stands, because can we believe the Amalaris when he says he took off proper Trumas Maestris? Well, we believe him that he took off Trumas. Maestris, however, is a different story. So Chazal is saying that he should be mafrish certain types of Maestris. Not every kind of Maestris, but some of the Maestris. So we explained yesterday's shiur exactly which ones. The point is, however, if somebody goes to a local food stand in an Amaretz and he purchases a pound of apples, these pound of apples have a chiyuv maestros drabona. Now, this is what happened to the Pshim and Shizui once again. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Amen the Pshim and Shizui. Pamachas nisarli tevel b'chulen. Zakdrashi, tevel doesn't mean real tevel. It means if Pshim and Shizui had, let us say, for example, a pound of apples that he bought from an Amaretz, to my, in a way it's tevel, because you still have to be mafish maestros drabona. And it got mixed up with other apples that are chulin, that were misukin already. So there's a big problem over here, because he can't just stick his hands into this mixture and pull out some apples and say, this is my maestros, because maybe he's pulling out from the chulin. And therefore it would be min haptor al hachiv, and the fundamental yisayid in maestros is, it has to be shava b'shava. You can't take maestros from one thing and another unless they are equivalent. Now, even though midiraisa there is no chiv maestros on any one of the apples over here, the fact is the Danai has a chiyuv maestros drabanan, the chulin does not, and therefore he can't just pull out an apple and say this is maestro, because it may be he is pulling out from the chulin, and therefore he would be mafrish min haptor al hachiyuv. So what is he supposed to do? Zaktav Shimish Hazari, Basi, I came, the Shaltias of Tarfin, and I asked of Tarfin, the Amali, and he said to me, Lech and Kach Lucha min Ashuk, go out to the street and purchase an apple from an Amaretz. Tarfin's solution, a simple one. What you need is another apple that is vadai in the exact same status as the Danai apples you have in the mixture. And if you take that apple and you say that's going to be maestros on the Danai apples in the mixture, so you are mafrish from equivalent things, from Danai on Danai, from one thing that has a chiyuv maestros drabanan on another thing that has a chiyuv maestros drabanan. So go out on the street and just buy another apple from an Amaretz. Once again, the Tarfon solution, Lech go, Kach lecha min hashuk, purchase another apple from the street, from an Amaretz, bedafka from an Amaretz. The Asir Aleph, and use that apple to meiser the apples you have in the mixture. We skip the words ksava diraisa beruba bottle, the Shita takes it out. And the reason that the Tarfon says this is because he is of the opinion, v'roiv amehu aretz meisrenhein. Now later on in the Gemara we're going to see why this roiv amehu aretz meisrenhein is vital for the validity of this solution. For right now, let's just say that Rav Ami Yoretz Maestrenhein, therefore there is only Yechiv Maestrus Drabbanon, the same as the first Peiris that he has. And the Neila Vehavalei Ketarim in Aptur Al Aptur. So this is the perfect situation. He is being Mafish Maestrus using an apple that is Pater Midi Raisa Chayiv Midrabbanon, and he is being Mesakein other apples that are also Pater Midi Raisa and Chayiv Midrabbanon. And this is the perfect Maestr situation. Frag the Gemara. L'chayir, Reb Tarfon could have had another solution. He should have told Reb Shimon Shizui, go out and purchase something from an Ovid Kechaver. As far as we know, Beiris of Ovid Kechaver are part of Midirais and Chayiv Midirabanan. So if you are looking for something that is Chayiv Midirabanan and part of Midirais, why go and look for an Amaretz? It's so much easier to find an Akum. Why is it easier to find an Akum? We can understand that it is much easier to distinguish the difference between an Akum and a Yisrael than an Amoritz and one that is not an Amoritz. There are other reasons why maybe it would have been a better solution to purchase a pay from an Akum, as you will see later on, the Ezra. In any event, the Gemara wonders why Rav Tarfon did not give Rav Shimon Shizuri the solution of buying something from a guy. If you need another apple that is Mechuyiv and Maisis Drabanan, why not buy one from another Kechav? And for the Gemara, that would have not been a solution. Because Ksav Rav Tarfon is of the opinion, Ein Kenyan Li'Avet Kechavim, Di Eretz Yisrael, Yafkia, Miad Meiser. He holds that an Avet Kechavim cannot own land in Eretz Yisrael so fully as to release it from the obligation of Meisers. Memela, according to the Shita, even Peiros from an Avet Kechavim are Mechuyiv in Meisers Midiuraisa. So for him to go purchase Peiros that are Mechuyiv in Meisers Midiuraisa, and use that to be Mesak in his Demai, which are only Mechuyev and Maisos Drabanan, we have only Menachiyev al Aptura. That would be Menachiyev al Aptura, and not the proper way to take Maisos. That is one version of what happened over here. Again, the demai got mixed up with pulin. He needs something else, which clearly is mechuyev in ma'aseh d'rabbanan. The Tarfon suggested buying another apple from an ha'aretz, and the reason he did not suggest to purchase it from an akum is because payos of an akum, according to the Tarfon, are mechuyev in ma'aseh d'oraisa. Ikadayami, another version of it, is as follows. Shimon Shazui came to the Tarfon and said, what should I do? I have payos that I bought from an ha'aretz. I meant to take off the ma'aseh that I am supposed to take, the chi of ma'aseh d'rabbanan that I have, and then they got mixed up with chulin payos. Now, I can't just pull an apple out of this mixture and use it for my ma'aseh, because it may be menaptur alachiv. Amalei, said Tarfon, told him, kach minuayu kechavit. So what you need is another apple that is vadai mechuyev in ma'aseh d'rabbanan. So go and purchase an apple from an ovet kechavit. The reason that when you purchase an apple from an ovet kechavit, you vadai have something which is equivalent to the mai, is because Ksavah, he is of the opinion, according to this version, that yesh kinyin liyavet kechavim b'yaz Yisrael, liyefkiyam yad ma'aseh. That an Eved Gechavim does have a kinyan to the extent that he releases the field from the obligation of Maestris. Memela, there is only a Chiyuv Maestris Derabbanan. So buying an apple from an Eved Gechavim, that's Mechuyuv and Maestris Derabbanan. Your Teres of Demai are Mechuyuv and Maestris Derabbanan. We have a Liman Abtur al Abtur. You'll be mafish from one thing that is part of Midi Uraisa on something else that is part of Midi Uraisa. A perfect solution. Fact the Gemara, now we go the reverse. So we'll aim away, why didn't he tell him, Kach Meyashok? Why go buy from an Akum and get involved in this machlokes if or if not yesh kinyan liyavet kechavim yesh Yisrael? Let him go out and buy mamish the identical thing. You have demai, go buy demai. Go buy another peri from an amaretz. So you have mamish two things with the same kind of chiyuv and use that apple to be masak in your apples. Why get involved in a different concept, the concept of liyavet kechavim? And for the Gemara, Ksavah, he is of the opinion, ein roiv amehu aretz ma'aisrin. Tarfon is of the opinion most Amiratzim don't take off Meiser. Now let's remember, in the previous version we said, the reason that Tarfon says you can go out and buy now another apple from an Amoritz and use that to be Masakin the first Mai is because he is of the opinion that the Reis Amiratz do take off Meiser. Now let's understand as follows. If we say Reis Amiratz Meiser, that means as follows. If I go and buy a bag of apples from an Amoritz, the chances are, Roiv says, and we know Roiv is an extremely fundamental concept. We have Seimach and Roiv in regard to many, many things. So we're basically assuming that proper Trumas and Maestros were taken. Roiv Amoritz Maestros name. But there are those that don't take off Maestros, we aren't really chayshish for it. Whatever the reason may be, Chazal said, just to be on the safe side, we're making our own takana. It isn't so much that it's a Suffolk D'Oraisa, we really feel no Maises were taken from this, that it's Tevel D'Oraisa. Let's say it's good, we still want you to be Mafresh some Maises. That's what Demai is all about. Now, if that's the case, so Mimela, it's a good solution to buy another apple from an Amoritz. I have here Peiros, which I bought originally from an Amoritz. There is a Chi of Maises that are buttered on it. I'm going to go out and buy another apple with the same kind of Chi of Maises and be mistaken from one on another. However, if we are of the opinion that Reiv Amiratzim don't take off Meiser, this structures the whole takon of Demai in a different light. If we're assuming Reiv Amiratzim don't take off Meiser, so the reason we're being mafresh certain Meisers after buying payers from an Amiratz is not just a sort of takon of the Rabbanon, it's a takon of the Rabbanon, but it's a takon of the Rabbanon to avoid a Suffolk D'Oraisa. In other words, we're mesupik that there is a 50% chance this is Tevel D'Oraisa. And therefore, to avoid the danger of that 50%, we're taking off Maestros. Now, if you look at it this way, things get a lot more complicated. That means, for instance, that I went Sunday afternoon, and I bought a bag of apples from an Amoritz. And if you say, Roiv Amiratzim and don't take off Maestros, there's a 50% chance that this was Gemaestros, a 50% chance that it's Tevel D'Oraisa. Now I'm going, and I'm buying another apple from another Amoritz. The same 50% chance. But you can't just use this new apple to be masak in the previous apples. For all practical purposes, it may just be menachiv alaptur or vice versa. If there's a real 50% chance, one way or another, maybe the first bag that I bought was misoken. And this apple that I'm buying now is not misoken. So it's menachiv alaptur. And even worse than that, let's say the first apples that I bought were not misoken. So they have a chiyuv ma'aseh d'oraisa. And let's say the second apple happens to be from an Amoritz that did take off ma'aseh. So it's menaptur al chiyuv. So I was never misakim the yisr tevel d'oraisa of that first bunch of apples that got mixed up. Meila, if you say ain loy vami yoretz ma'isin, which means the ma'i isn't just a takana d'rabbanan, but it's a real 50-50 safik, then the eitz of buying another apple from an ama oretz is simply not a viable solution. The kasha with this chat, as Rashi points out, is, so what is a good solution? He goes out and buys an apple from an Eved Kechav. So this apple is Vade Mechuyiv and Maises de Rabbana. What now? What happens with that first bag of apples that he bought from an Amoretz? Is Tevel de Raisa. There's a 50% chance he didn't take anything off. So I have here now an apple that I bought from an Akum, which is Mechuyiv and Maises de Rabbana, and I'm being Masak in what? Something which is Mechuyiv and Maises de Raisa. The other solution is not a solution either. The only way you can use any of these solutions is if to say that the Atzim Takan of the Ma'i is not a real Safik, that the Amiratzim didn't take off Ma'isras, but rather Rav Amiratz Ma'isras, hey? Just that the Takan of the Banan take off more Ma'isras. Fine. So I have original Payless where I have this Takan, I'll buy another apple with the same Takan, I can take one from another. But once you get involved in saying that there's a 50-50 Safik over here, no solution is good, because I have no way of knowing what those first apples are. Memela, for all practical purposes, we don't know what pshat in this gemara is. So Rashi suggests a whole different mahalach, an alternate pshat. Let's go back to the beginning of the gemara and forget whatever we said till now, at least for the time being. Once again, from the words tani, we learned in the brayse. I'm in a pshimish zuri. Pan achas nisarvli tevel b'cholim. I had a pound of apples, not demai apples, apples that were vaday tevel. They grew in a yid's field, and the yid said, "There's no shaila about it. I didn't take off tremesi maisers." These are payments that are mechuyiv in maisras midiraisa. At least they were, until they fell into 2 pounds of chulin. Now, midiraisa chad betrays bottle. Midiraisa, this tevel becomes bottle beraiv, and everything should be good. The Rabbanan, however, said that tevel does not become bottle, so you have to be mafresh maisras midrabbanan. Now we have problems, because how am I supposed to figure out which apples are the tevel apples that are now mechuyiv in maisras midrabbanan? I can't just pull out an apple. Maybe I'm pulling out a chulin apple, and I can't be masakein the tevel, which is mechuyev maisus midrabanan, via a chulin apple, which is no chuyev maisus at all. So ibasi v'shalti is a taf, and I came to the taf, and then I asked, what should I do? Now it's the same as before. You have payers that are mechuyev maisus midrabanan that got mixed up with payers that have no chuyev at all, except in the previous way we learned the reason they were mechuyev maisus midrabanan was because they were denied, because he bought them from an amaretz. Now we're saying the reason they are mechuyev and maisras d'rabanan is because they got mixed up and became bottled d'raiv. But the fact is, they're still mechuyev and maisras d'rabanan. And I need another apple that is also mechuyev and maisras d'rabanan. It should be equivalent, shava b'shava, so I can be in the second one from another. So the Tyson told him first, kach l'chom in ashuk, go out and buy a peri from an amaretz. That's t'mai, mechuyev and maisras d'rabanan. And therefore, you'll have one kind of dirabanan from another kind of a dirabanan. The chiyuv to mai, which is a dirabanan like a maiser, and the chiyuv to maiser, the tevel that became bottle, which is also a dirabanan. Now, this would only work if indeed the tafan is of the opinion, roi vami or it's maiser name. Roi vami or it's maiser name means, as explained previously, we're not really worried that the amoretz didn't take off maisers. Lifetimes he does. But if it's a kind of dirabanan, take maisers again. That's what the mai is. So it's at the kind of the bottom, like this tavel that became bottle technically. The Messiah says there's no chiev to take off mice. The Rabbanan said do it anyhow, for whatever reason it may be. And then the Gemara asks, why didn't he suggest that he get a different kind of a Rabbanan like a chiev, buy from an Akum? And the Gemara says, Tafin holds buying from an Akum is a chiev d'iraisa. Then the other way. He suggested, this is the Yik of the Amri, he suggested to him go out and buy a peri from an Akum. That's Mechuyev and Maisras d'Rabbanan, because according to this version we are of the opinion, Eved Kechavim do have a Kayach to be Mefkia v'Chiyev Maisras. And that'll solve the problem, because you'll have an apple from an Akum, which is Mechuyev and Maisras d'Rabbanan, and you have your apples that became bottled, they're also still only Mechuyev and Maisras d'Rabbanan, and you can be Mesakin from one on another. Frek, the Gemara, according to this version now, why didn't he give the other solution? Why didn't he offer the solution of buying a peri from an Amma Aretz? The Teretz is because, according to this version, Reb Tafin is of the opinion that Roiv Amma Yoratzim don't take off mice. So Dmai isn't just a Takana Drabanan. Dmai means we have a 50-50 Safik. It's possible this is Tevel D'Oraisa. So, as far as his Tevel had got mixed up with the Chulin, That's vade not tevel diraisa, because midiraisa vade became bottle. Therefore, you can't say go and buy a peri from an amaretz, which may be a chi of diraisa. You won't be able to compare the two. They're not equivalent. One is a suffix diraisa, one is a vade derabanan. And the mele, you have to give him the eitz of buying from an akum. And if you hold yes kinyan biyadoy v'kechov muyafkiya midei ma'aser, so an apple from an akum is vade yechi of midrabanan. The same as his tevel that got mixed up in bottle in the chulin, which is also only mechuyev midrabanan. This is the Gemara's final solution according to the ikadiyam. Look, the Gemara right. We've been discussing that there was much controversy over Reb Shimon Shazuri's shitas in general. And we mentioned before, Reb Chanina says, wherever you have an opinion from Reb Shimon Shazuri, the halach is kamaisai. Shalachlet of Yemer Bashlamaya, Rav Papa, Rav Yemer Bashlamaya sent a message to Rav Papa. Hadi Amr Avin Bachanina, Amr Ula, in the name of Ula, Amr Rav Chanina, in the name of Rav Chanina, that halachik Reb Shimon Shazuri, that the halach is in accordance with Reb Shimon Shazuri's opinion in regard to one specific item. And that specific item we explained previously at the start of our shir. And we know Reb Chanina added the Layoid not only in regard to that item, Elakal Mokim Sheshana Reb Shimon Shazuri Halacha Kamaisai. Wherever Reb Shimon Shazuri has an opinion, the Halacha is in accordance with his view. Is this true after Nisayv Leitevel Becholin in regard to this whole story of the Tevel getting mixed up with Becholin? Shimon Shazuri repeated what Reb Tarasin told him, that apparently means he agrees with the solution. So does that mean we can assume automatically that this is the Halacha? Amalei, so he told him, and yes. Amr Vashi, Amr Mazucha, Mazucha told me that Kashi Beit Chanina Misura, when Chanina Misura heard this Shaila, he was extremely puzzled by it, and he said, Pshita, of course. Rav Chanina outright said, wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri has an opinion, the halacha is in accordance with his view. What was the suffix here? We turn now to Amr Beis. So perhaps you could have said the suffix is that this halacha Rav Shimon Shazuri doesn't appear in a Mishnah, it only appears in a Brais. And maybe Rav Chanina only meant that the Rav Shimon Shazuris of Mishnais are always in accordance with halacha. Mi kamar v'mishnah seinu? Did Rav Chanina say wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri states his halacha in a Mishnah, the halacha is like him? Kol mokim sheshana kamar. Rav Chanina said outright, wherever Rav Shimon Shazuri has an opinion, the halacha is always kamaisai. The Nail, as far as he was concerned, it was a pshitus, and it isn't even a shail. Rav Zeira said, in the name of Rav Chananel, in the name of Rav, Karahaba b'shnei shitin yadfar. There is a rip in the parchment of a Sefer Torah, a rip that extends two lines into the writing, into the ksav of the Sefer Torah. At this point, it can still be sewn together. However, b'shalach, if the rip goes three lines into the ksav, al yadfar, then we are not permitted to sew it. Rather, explains Rashi, we have to take the entire urea, remove it, and replace it with a different page. Amalei Rabbi Zuti, the smaller Rabbi, said to Ravashi, Hachi Amar Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, this is what Rav Yirmiyah Midifti said, Mishmei Derava, in the name of Rava. Hadi Yamrin, on this halacha that is said over here, that Bishalesh Al Yadfar, if the rip extends three lines into the ksav, it cannot be sewn together. Oyamar, and this was not said, Elabi Atikta, only in regard to an old cloth, in regard to old parchment. In regard to old parchment, a rip is much more visible. It stands out more. Abuchadita, but in regard to a new parchment, less lumba, there is no problem. And we can sew together even a rip that extends three lines into the ksav. Furthermore, when we say over here, old or new, it doesn't really mean old or new. V'lay atikta, atikta mamish. Old doesn't really mean old. V'lay chadita, chadita mamish. And new doesn't really mean new. Eleanor, rather, when we say old, we mean hadalei afitzan. If it was not treated with a special kind of a juice, and hadiyafitzin, if it was treated in a special manner where it has a new appearance and somehow can survive the rip better. What the afitz does, and this is made out of some kind of derivatives of juices, is it gives the parchment a white appearance, and because it appears white and fresh, therefore a rip doesn't do as much damage. And that is the reason you can have a technically old parchment, but if it was treated properly and it appears white, it doesn't appear black, so the rip simply is not as visible, and therefore it could be fixed, even though it extends three lines into the ksav. The issue over here for sewing together when the parmit does not appear as a new parmit is a psul of zeh kelevi and zeh. It simply does not look nice. The Taz adds it would make no difference if he glues it together or sews it together. In both cases, it cannot be done. However, because it's a psul of appearance rather than in structure of the Sefer Torah, the Taz does paskin in Simon Reish Pei, Sivkot and Beis, that b'diavad, if b'shas akriya during the laning, one comes across a sefer Torah that was fixed, although the rip extended three lines into the ksav, either by stitches or with glue, the sefer Torah should not be put away. And Kolshkin says to Taz that this is the only sefer Torah a town has, they should continue laning with it. Now, Tosfos, after a series of kashas, says that b'zman hazeh, we don't do this offwitz process, we don't need it. It seems we have a different procedure in working out our parchments, and they appear white even without the offwitz. Therefore, the Shach Paskins, also in Siman Reish Peis, you've caught in Gimel, that our Sefer Torah can always be fixed. Our parchments very rarely actually appear black, which seemed to have been common in those days, without the offwitz process. Therefore, the Shach Paskins of B'zman HaZeh, when a rip appears in a Sefer Torah, even in three lines into the Ksav, it can either be stitched together with the special Gidin, or even glued together. Now, this is all provided that it extends up until and including three lines into the Ksav. If the rip goes more than three lines into the Ksav, then there is a very big machlaikus in the Rishayim that extends down to the Echayim. If or if not, this could be fixed at all, regardless of how new the parchment appears. In a circumstance where it is permitted to sew a Sefer Torah together, there is one more limitation that the Gemara tells us about. The hanimili begidin, dafka with gidin, avul begadin loy. Ordinary thread cannot be used. Gidin is the type of thread that every cipher uses to sew the very ureus, the very pages together. It's made out of tendons of the animal. And this is the only kind of thread that is permitted to be used when a Sefer Torah can be repaired. Suppose we have a rip that extends deep into the Sefer Torah, but not into the writing of the Sefer Torah. It goes up between the columns, or bein shita l'shita. Or a rip that may be very large, but again, it doesn't affect the ksav because it's between the lines. So my, what is the halacha? Could this be repaired or not? Sakti Gemara Teiku, for this we have to wait for Eliyahu Hanavi. Tishbi Yataretz Kushis V'Yabais. The shaila presented over here in the text of our Gemara is if we have a rip that would have gone three lines into the ksav had it been against the ksav, but being that it's between the columns, it doesn't really touch the ksav, and a rip that goes between the lines. From the Rambam Mishnah, he had another nekud over here, another aspect to this shaila, and that is what happens if the rip goes up against the ksav, but somehow goes in between the letters, and doesn't actually break any letters. If such a rip goes three lines into the ksav, what is the halach? The Rambam Paskins, in all three cases, the two that appear over here in our Gemara, going up between the columns and the rip that goes across between the lines, and according to his Girsa, the rip that goes up between and zigzags around the letters, in all cases it is kosher. Apparently the Paskin explained that Rambam, as explained previously, does not hold that this is an Isser D'Rais over here. It is a Isser D'Rabbanan, and therefore he goes B'Safik L'Kula. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, assuming the Girsa of the Rambam Paskins, that Bein Daf L'Daf and Bein Teva L'Teva, in between the words, are kosher. The Taz, however, says in regard to a rip that mamish goes into the ksav but just zigzags around the words, being that Sefkel says many Nishonim don't have that gifts over here in the Gemara of Bein Teva L'Teva, as indeed we don't have it, and it's mashus in the Torah that he paskins l'chumah on this, and therefore we should be machmer with a rip that goes more than three lines, although it zigzags around the actual words. Now, this is all if the rip zigzags around the words. If the rip zigzags around letters, in other words, the rip goes up into the ksav, it just so happens that it goes around individual letters, but it does cut off words, it's mashma from most of the paiskim that everyone is mashma. Because even this girsa in the Gemara that has a shayla about this is only bein teva l'teva, not bein ois l'ois. A big controversy in the Echayim over here is about patching Sefer Torah. If part of a parchment is damaged, instead of replacing the entire page, is it permitted for a cipher just to cut out the damaged part, patch it from underneath with a brand new piece of parchment, and then fill in what's missing? The Shach says that provided it is permitted for the cipher to sew, then it's permitted for him to patch. In other words, suppose we have a situation where the rip is in between the columns, or the rip does not go three lines into the ksav, where it would be permitted to sew, so by that same token, it would be permitted for the cipher to patch with a new piece of parchment underneath. The Rash over here in our Gemara says, under all circumstances, it is permitted to patch, because tefillah does not look or cannot come out as nice as a patch would. And therefore, though our Gemara asks tefillah, because it doesn't have a nice appearance, after a certain point, depending on how big the rip is, to patch it is always mutter. That's the opinion of the Rash. And the Bach says that l'chayra we should be seimach on the Rosh, and it is permitted to patch a Sefer Torah, even under the circumstances where we would not be permitted to sew it. The only time the Bach is machmir about patching is where the rib actually cuts ICIs. If it cuts letters in half, then he does not allow the patching. Now, this leads us into another shaila. It is the opinion of the Taz that if we have an incomplete ice in a Sefer Torah, and then there's a hole, the whole ice was never written, then it is all right to take a piece of pyramid, patch from underneath, and complete the ice, even though the ice is partially written on the original parchment and partially on the patch. Others are very machmer about this. They say you can't write part of an ice on the original parchment and part of an ice on the patch. Even the Bach, who is so much more makel about patches, he says you can patch even under the circumstances you are not permitted to sew. He still does not allow a partial ice on the original parchment and the rest of the ice on the patch. He says he can't connect the two and consider it one ice. The Taz says he doesn't understand why. If it's all right to patch, that means patching makes the two pieces of pyramid into one pyramid. So what's wrong with one ice that was started on the original and finished on the patch? Let's understand even according to the Taz. This is the Daf under these circumstances where he starts writing an ice on the original and finishes it off on the patch. If there was a whole ice on the original that was ripped, and then he wants to stick another part of an ice with a patch on it to connect it, and therefore form a good ice, this of course would not be good. Many Paiskin, the Chasam Sofer amongst them, say that it's all right to put complete letters on a patch, but they don't agree with the Kula of the Taz to put half a letter on the original parchment and the other half on a patch. Now, needless to say, this is just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, and this here is not meant for anyone to do anything. L'maisa, a Rav must be consulted. Zagdi would write, Amad of Zaidi, Amad of Hananel, Amar Rav. Mezuzah shekasva shtayim shtayim ksheira. Somebody has a very long and narrow mezuzah. The cipher put only two words on every single line. The mezuzah is still kosher. Ibarlu, a shaila was asked, what happens if it's shtayim v'shalash v'yachas? Two words in one line, three on the next, and then one on the third. Now, what is the Allah? Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, Kalshkin, this is surely kosher, because we find this kind of a writing, She'asa Kishira. If you look at Az Yashir and the Sefer Torah, that the Shira, we'll see this kind of a structure, a long line and a short line, even though it doesn't fill up the whole line, and that's the way it's supposed to be written. So we can assume that a mezuzah surely should be kosher if it was written in this manner. Meisei Fekdi Mara Kasher. We learned Asa Kishira, somebody just writes regular psukim, like the Shira with the long line and the short line. A Yeshiva Kamaisa, for that matter, he writes Az Yashir the Shira in the ordinary way, filling up all the lines, so that it's possible. So you see here the fact that the Shira is written that way doesn't make it any more kosher. So why does Nachman Ben Yitzchok say a mezuzah is kosher? Because it was done like the Shira. We see here just the opposite. Something that is not a Shira and it's written like the Shira is possible. And for the Gemara Kitan, Yahi B'Sefer Torah. When do we say that if we write regular psukim like the Shira with the long one and the short line, it is possible that it's dafka by a Sefer Torah, not by a mezuzah? Itmar Nami says Gemara, we indeed did learn this way, for we have the Kabbalah Amad Abba by Barachana Amad of Yoichanan, Ziyamila, others say it was Amad of Acha by Barachana Amad of Yoichanan. Mezuzah she'asa shtayim v'shalash v'yachas, and mezuzah was written, two words in one line, three on the next line, and then one word on the third line, kshira, it is kosher. So this is substantiating what we were saying, that although it is written kishira, it is kosher. The only time psukim that aren't shira, which are written like a shira, pass something is in regard to a sefer Torah, not in regard to a mezuzah. The structure of two words, three words, and one word is all right with a mezuzah. However, there is something that does pass a mezuzah, ubalachli yasena kekuva, as long as he doesn't make it like a tent. Now we see the picture over here in Rashi. It's the first series of dots in Rashi. A tent meaning one word on the top line, two on the next line, and three on the third line. Narrow on the top, and it gets wider as it comes down. That would pass a mezuzah. And by that same token, a mevachlo yasena kizana. If he makes it like a tail, it would also pass a mezuzah. A tail meaning, as we see the second picture in Rashi, three on the top line, two on the next line, and then one. Wide on top, and then getting narrower and narrower. However, as our original shaila was, two on the top, three in the middle, and then one on the bottom, this is all right. The last words of the mezuzah are the words al ha'aretz. Lasis lehem ki mea shemayim al ha'aretz. Zak the Gemara writer, Amar Chizda al ha'aretz b'shita achrayim. Al ha'aretz has to be alone on the last line. In other words, on the last line of the mezuzah, there should be nothing else but the two words, al-ha'aretz. Now, where on the last line? That is not so simple. Ikadami others say b'sayf shita, at the end of the line. Ikadami others say b'tchila shita, at the beginning of the line. If we look at the shita mikvasas in the bottom right-hand column of Al-Gemara, we see the pictures very clearly. The last two pictures that he has, al-ha'aretz being at the end with the beginning of the line empty, or al-ha'aretz being at the beginning of the line with the end of the line empty. Now, what is the reasoning for the respective shita? The Gemara explains, mandiyam of the side shita, the mandiyam that says to leave the beginning of the last line empty, and put the words al-ha'aretz all the way at the end, because the pasuk says, kigvaya shemayim al-ha'aretz, as the heaven is high above the earth. In other words, we're concluding the mezuzah over here with the bracha that the Torah gives us, l'man yirbu yimeichem nevenechem, the bracha for arichas yamim, for a long life. Kimeh shemayim al-ha'aretz, as far as the distance is between Shemayim and Aretz, so long should our lives be. So we want Shemayim and Aretz to be right on top of each other, to bring out that concept. Now, if we would write Al-Aretz at the beginning of the line, then the HaShemayim and Al-Aretz would not be right on top of the other. So you won't have this idea of the Kegvaya Shemayim Al-Aretz with the Shemayim on top of the Aretz. On the other hand, Imandiyam Evetchila Shita, the Mandiyam that says to write Al-Aretz at the beginning of the line, and leave the space at the end of the line, his svar is, Kecha de Mirachka Shemayim Yaretz. He says, in order to bring out the brach over here, we should place Shemayim and Aretz as distant as possible. As far as Shemayim is from the Aretz, that's how long we should live. So therefore, put Shemayim at the end of the line, and Aretz at the beginning of the first line. So the distance is so much greater. Naturally, there is a lot more over here than we can understand on the surface, but just to give us a little bit of an idea of what underlying sightness there are over here that we can't understand, the Ben Yayada points out that the gematria of the word Shemayim is 390. The gematria of the word Aretz is 291, a difference of 99. The Shem of Chesed is the Shem Yud Kevavke, which is gematria 26. The greatest influx of chesed is represented with the shame of Havaya in combination with the shame of Aleph, Daled, Nun, and the Yud. Both reflect chesed. When we see in the Chumash the two Yuds together, we read it with the shame of Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud, and it refers to a shame of chesed. Havaya and the shame of Adni together are gematria 99. So when we see over here, Kimisper Shemayim Gaiza Ala Aretz, the height, the difference between Shemayim and Aretz, that is the Misper 99, and that is the greatest Hamshacha of the Chesed and Rachmim that is injected into this Bria with those Shemais. And that is the idea of the Mandamah that says, put Shemayim and Aretz right on top of each other, says again the Sefer Ben Yayada, to be Mashpia, this shame of Rachmim and Chesed indeed, to induce the long life. The other Shita, that says Al Aretz should be at the beginning of the line, as distant as possible, as Shemayim. His kavanah is to be mamshach a different kind of a chesed. This is how the Ben Yayada explains it. And once again, we can't truly understand it, but at least we can understand that there are so many things over here that we don't understand. The Gemara Chagiga says that the mahalach from one world to another world is taf kuf shana, 500 years. With 500 years of traveling or walking, a person can reach two worlds. So in a sense, the distance between Shemayim and Aretz is 500. The same Shakai, the same Shin, Dalet, and the Yod, is the shame, also a great shame of Rachamim, and a shame that we put in our mezuzahs. Every mezuzah has those Isias, the Shin, the Dalet, and the Yod, and we know these Isias are Rashi Tevis, Shemer, Dalet, of Yisrael. If you spell out the same Shakai, in other words, if you spell out the Shin, Yod, Nun, which spells Shin, and then spell out Dalet, and spell out Yod, and add up the Gematria, it would equal 500. The Rizal says that the Eitz HaChaim was so big it would take that amount of years to walk from one side to the other. Now, of course, we don't know what this means. Does this mean in a physical sense? Does this mean in some kind of a spiritual sense? But Akubanim, the Ben Yad explains as follows. The sum total of Eivarim between Ish and Isha add up to 500. Had Adam and Chava not sinned by the shame Eitz HaDas, 500, which means the shame Shakai, the shame of protection, would have never been affected in any way, in the sense that the hashpahs of chesed would have never been stopped coming down to this world. We never would have had a life of fear, never a life of danger, nobody would be sick, nobody would be hurt. There would be a complete hashpah of the shame shakai, the shame of protection of his bria. Because Adam, Rishon, and Chava did not live up to their potential, they did not maintain the madrega that they had, the same chakra does not appear in its full force to us. And the Mela, we don't have a life of complete protection on this world. And the Mela, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem Yirachim, there is fear. And there is danger. And we need a lot of rachmin to go through this world unscathed. So we say, L'mayirbu yineichem v'mei v'neichem. And we conclude, Kimea Shemayim al-Aretz. The distance of traveling from one world to another is 500. That is the shame shakai, the distance to travel around the Chet Eitz Hadas, meaning the shame of shakai that Adam and Chava had together, and the shame that would have stayed with us with its full force had they not sinned by the Chet Eitz Hadas. So in effect, death comes from the Chet Eitz Hadas, and what we are being mispaled for, and what the mezuzah represents, is to be mamsha chashpois of chesed from the shame shakai, and that's where the shame shakai is on the mezuzah. The shame that was mamshach v'chesed that once existed on this world that would have never allowed any fear or danger. And that is why, says the Ben Yada, this Mandi Amar has Al Ha'aretz at the beginning of the line, with the Kamei HaShemayim at the end of the line on top of it, as distant as possible, emphasizing the Mahalach Tavkos Shana, emphasizing the shame, Shakai, and the shame of protection. Now it's interesting to note that virtually the same Mahalach is found in the Rebbeinu Bachaya on the Pasuk Losis Lehem Kimei HaShemayim Al Ha'aretz. This is the Lashon of the Rebbeinu Bachaya. The Pasuk Kimei HaShemayim Al Ha'aretz is an Havtacha L'Yosid Lavoi. It's a promise for the future, for when Mashiach comes. Then the Schus HaTayre Yarichu Yomim, there will be long life, and people will live 400, 500 years, Kimei HaShemayim Al Ha'aretz, because the distance that it takes to go from one world to another, as the Gemara in the Chagiga says, is 500 years. And the Rebbeinu Bechaya also makes the connection to the Eitz Hadas. He quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya says, Ki meha eitz yimei ani. Like the days of the tree are the days of my people, says the Rebbeinu Bechaya. Like the time that Adam Arishan had during when he ate from the Chet Eitz Hadas. For had he not eaten from the Chet Eitz Hadas, life would have just gone on seemingly without an end. This concept of long life, the concept of the 500 years, that's what will be for Klal Yisrael Yosid Lavai. When the Shechina will come back to us, we will have the Shem Bimaluyai, the full Ashrosa Shechina. When Mashiach comes, it will be the life of before Eitz Hadas, the life of Eitz Chaim, the life of 500 years. And the Rebbeinu Chai goes on to a Cheshvan to explain the significance of the number 500. But the point is, that is what the Pasuk in Yeshaya says. There is a concept over here of long life, a concept of the Shem Shakai that existed on the world, which is the Eitz Chaim. And that is why indeed he too quotes the Chazal that some way or another to go around the Eitz Chaim was a Mahalach of 500 years. The Hamshacha was there for a bracha of 500 years of long life. This was Nivgam with the Chet of Adam Rishon. And this is what we are trying to be in the Ayur. We are trying to look back and bring from that protection in the mezuzah with the words, and that is what the words mean, Kimei HaShemayim Al Ha'aretz. Now the Rebbeinu Bechaya adds more. He says if you add up the total lifespan of the Avos, Avraham Avinu lived 175 years, Yitzchak 180, Yaakov 147, that is a sum total of 502. The two being Shemayim and Aretz, the 500 being the 500 in between. The Avos and the Shem Shakai go hand in hand. The Pasuk says, Eirel Avram al Yitzchak v'al Yaakov b'keil Shakai. Rashi says, I promised them Havtachais, u'bekulan amati lahem ani keil Shakai. And that is why we say, Asher nishba Hashem l'avaseichem, losis lem kimei Hashemayim al ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avos, the concept of protection, the concept of Shem Shakai, the life of no fear, the life of no danger, which the Yosid Lavi will have. And it is in their schos that we will be zayichet to it. It is in their schos that we have the mezuzah, where we are miyoyer to some degree, the shame shakai, the shame of protection. And in a sense, we see that with the combined numbers of the lives of the avos. That's because the schos that we have, the relationship that we have to the shame shakai, to the shame of the protection, is via the avos. So whatever the case may be, we see there is a lot more here than meets the eye. Lehalacha, getting back down to earth, the Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam, or Paskin like the Lashon, we put Al Ha'aretz at the beginning of the line. The Lashon of the Mechaber, Yerdei Simen Reish Peches, Sifyud, Al Ha'aretz Yichtais Beroish Hashita Achroina, Al Ha'aretz should be written at the beginning of the last line, V'lo Yichtais B'Yaiser. Nothing else should appear on the last line of the Mezuzah but the words Al Ha'aretz. Although the Gemara said previously that we can write the Mezuzah all sorts of ways, provided we don't write it like a tent or like a tail, but one can write with the formation of two words in one line, three words in the other line, one word on the next line, or even two words in every single line all the way down, the preferred thing to do, the minhag, is to write 22 lines for a mezuzah. The Paiskim, the Shach, points out exactly what word should begin each of the 22 lines. This is the Lashon Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei. Shema, of course, is the first word on the first line. Hashem is the first word on the second line. The Hashem of V'yahavtas Hashem Alikecha. The next line, Hadvarim. The next line, Levanecha. The next line, V'shachbecha. Dein V'haya Im Shemaya is always at the beginning of a line. The word mitzvah, the word v'kol, the word yair, the word eser, the word pen, the word v'hishtachadisem, hashemayim v'avalitem v'samtem oisam, again oisam, baderech yivishadecha, asher, and finally, al ha'aretz. Al ha'aretz, as Al-Gemara tells us, the beginning of the last line. Now, though the pash, the pshat, in these 22 words are, if you go with this cheshbin, writing those 22 words at the beginning of the line, then you'll have the al ha'aretz at the last line. At the beginning of the last line, as Al-Gemara wants. But the very reason for having the Al Ha'aretz at the very end, as we have just seen, represents the essence of the Kedusha of the Yiddish Neshama. The 22 lines of the Mezuzah, and again, according to this Cheshbon, there are 22 lines in the Mezuzah, represent, explain Mefarshim, the Chavtei's Asvin D'Oraisa. Each one is symbolic of the 22 letters that we have, which is the source of our Torah, Teresh B'Ksav, Bifrat. And the Stam, the Sifri Torah, the Tefillin, and the Mezuzah that we have, when written by a proper cipher, radiates this Kedusha. And it gives over to us, it is Mamshech to us, the concept of Bracha, the concept of feeling a Kedusha. And the Frat, when it comes to the Mezuzah, which protects the Jewish home, and is Mamshech of a Kedusha into the home, the concept of the Chav Beis Asin Dirai, so the 22 letters of the Torah stands out. Whatever feeling and shayachas we have to Kedusha comes via the Isaiah. Tzvi ben Yad explains this when he discusses the reason for saying the Eshes Chayil Friday night, when we feel the Kedusha of Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer Migdaloi discusses it, and he discusses how important it is that the child, when he turns 3 years old, sees the letters for the very first time, the letters of the Aleph Beis, and he says this is Mamshech Kedusha into him for the rest of his life. Incidentally, there's a Peladik Anaisa that the Sfeded Ebbe Zechon Levracha always used to say when the Yerachayim HaKadosh was Nifter. He told his wife that she could support herself by selling his tefillin. He prophesied somebody would come and pay a great fee for it, and he told her to caution him he should not speak any Dvarim B'Telem. And indeed, as soon as he was Nifter, somebody from Turkey came and bought the tefillin of the Yerachayim HaKadosh for a vast sum of money, and she warned him not to speak Dvarim B'Telem, and for many years he heeded the warning. And he felt a tremendous Kedusha when he put on the tefillin of the Yerachayim HaKadosh. And it once happened that he forgot himself, and a business partner called while he was davening, and he discussed some business with him. And from that point on, he didn't feel the Kiddush anymore in the ICS. So he thought maybe the tefillin became possible. So he took the tefillin to the cipher, and the Velt says the cipher opened up the scrolls, and they were empty. There was nothing on it. And he was told later by Tzadikin that the Yerachayim HaKadosh's tefillin, the ICS, had such Kiddush that as soon as he spoke Dvarim B'Telem in them, they simply left. There is a great amount of Kedusha that can enter our neshamis in our constant life with the Sifri Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, but it is only if we are willing to become proper receptacles for it.